May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The incomparable teacher, stay awake from our gospel lesson for today. Hey, let's suppose some years back you were asked to write your predictions for the future. I don't know, let's go back 10, 20 years, depending on your age. If you're just 20, you can't do it from the womb, you know. What would you have predicted? In world events, would you have seen the rise of ISIS as currently our bitterest enemy? Would you have foreseen that? Would you have foreseen that China has the second greatest economy and they manufacture everything? Could you foresee that your Christmas would include every gift made in China? In everyday life, would you have predicted the role of the computer, smartphones, online shopping? Would you have foreseen our second brain? That is Google, by the way. Right. Would you have foreseen that? I wouldn't have thought that I'd carry my brain in my pocket. And most of all, in our personal lives, would you have foreseen the joys, the hurts and tragedies that have come upon your life? Could we have avoided some things and grasped other things and made our lives better? Could we have done that? I've heard these statements so many times. If only I knew then what I know now, I would have done things differently. Or how about this one? My life has not turned out like I imagined. Yeah, the future seems to be out of our control, doesn't it? Now many, and I would say rather smugly, think that they're really in control of their life. I mean, they have a regimen, they have plans, they've got it all figured out. What they don't see is that curve up ahead. That curve that they're not prepared for. Jesus in our gospel for today is saying, stay awake. Now obviously he is not telling us to do without sleep. He's not telling us to become insomniacs. We can do that on our own. No, it's a metaphor as to how we are to live our lives in relation to the future. Conventionally, we make our plans about our days up ahead. We plan out our life, we have our goals. None of this is bad. We should do these things. But Jesus has a wholly different way of looking at the future. His approach is such radically different from what you hear from most on how you get ready for the days ahead. So first, let's take a look at our scripture this morning. It was very short from the gospel. And look what it says about Jesus' entirely different, divergent view of the future. Jesus begins with the fact, no one knows when the end of the world will be. Not even Jesus knows in his human nature when the end will be. In spite of this, there have been all kinds of predictions. There's all kinds of elaborate ideas. It might surprise you to know that before the 1800s, there was no talk, there was no idea of the rapture as it's taught today. No, it didn't enter people's minds. In fact, it really wasn't popularized until the first half of the 19th century in England by the British evangelist who really came up with our modern version of the rapture, and that was John Nelson Darby. Now, of course, there's been all kinds of predictions about the end, haven't there? All kinds. And the main error of these predictions is that they focus on fear rather than faith. And there's this whole control element in these predictions. We know what's going to happen. The secrets have been revealed to us. We have it figured out. Send 1995 and we'll send you the whole manual with all the maps and all the, you know. In Jesus' words, clearly no one knows the end, when it will be. And in Jesus' words in this parable that he teaches, Jesus puts his servants in charge, each with his own work. Or I like this other version that says, each with their assigned task. There is the idea that God has designated a role and a purpose for each of us. In living in the present and preparing for the future, we are to grasp what that role is, what that task is. For in truth, it has from the beginning been assigned to you. Then, as the parable suggests, we're to exercise our role, do our tasks, and in doing so, we are awake when he comes. So, now, how is Jesus' view of the future so thoroughly unique from that of sinful human beings? And specifically, how do we stay awake? To adopt Jesus' view, we have to acknowledge that we are not in control. In a cartoon, a man is asked, "What frightens you most about your life?" And he answers, "Realizing that my future is in the hands of a hopelessly incompetent fool, namely myself." And if you think you're in control of your future, then you're that man. As true believers, we acknowledge that we do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. We also acknowledge that we really did need a Savior. We needed an intervention. For left on our own, we would have ultimately wrecked and destroyed our life. Many are doing that now, and they don't even recognize it. It's tragic, really. In their own way, they're destroying their life, and they're only going to learn about it later. They need the cross of Jesus. They need the blood of Jesus. They need the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit intervening in their lives. They need this. They need this. They need this desperately, as do we all. We need that intervention. We don't always understand God's ways. Do any of us understand God's ways? We don't often understand God's ways. But understanding can wait. Faith and obedience cannot. In acknowledging that we need Jesus as our Savior and Master over our lives and maturing in our faith, we begin to see the keeping power of Jesus. I like that phrase, the keeping power of Jesus. You know, when he ascended into heaven, before he did, what did he say? "I'm with you always. I'm with you always. You may not see me with your physical eyes, but I'm here. I'm with you always to the end." And he is here with us. In some form or another, he's always been with the people of God, even in the Old Testament. In Daniel, he's thrown to the lion's den. Who shuts the mouth of the lions? The Son of God. Hey, there are lions around our life. You know, they would chomp us. Who's the one identified as the supreme lion seeking to devour us? Who is it? Satan. Satan. Do we need Jesus nearby us? No, we need a lion tamer nearby us, you know, who can push that lion back. And what does he give us? This Jesus who's always around. He gives us his comfort. He gives us peace. And most of all, he gives us strength. And he gives us all of it generously. Those who seek him will have all that he has to bring us. He keeps us on that narrow path, and we in turn keep acknowledging him. In Jesus' way of seeing the future, we shouldn't fixate on our fears. We shouldn't fixate on our plans. No, our focus should be rather on the promises he's made to us in Jesus Christ and the faith he's given us. One of my favorite stories, which I've used so often because it's dynamite, you know, it's a good story. It concerns the making of the classic film, Ben-Hur. Actor Charlton Heston had to learn how to drive a chariot for that film. It was to be a race scene, probably the most exciting race scene filmed to date, right? It was tremendous. After weeks of chariot lessons. Now, where do you get those? I mean, can you Google that and find out? I want a chariot lesson. Yeah. After weeks of chariot lessons, Heston comes to the director and says, I think I can drive the chariot around the course. But what I'm not sure about is whether I can win the race. And the director responded with this classic line, you just stay in the race. I'll make sure you win. Isn't that kind of what Jesus tells us? Isn't it what the Bible tells us? You stay in the race. It's going to have some turns. It's going to have some things you don't like. There are going to be terrible things that happen to your life, perhaps. But hold on. Stay in the race. And I'll make sure you make it to the finish line. Victorious. Hold on to the faith that we've been given. You know, don't pay much attention to all the frightening forecasts of the godly, ungodly. And don't get swallowed up by the, and we're distracted by the wild teachings and elaborate predictions of religious zealots and self-proclaimed prophets. Above all, fix your eyes on Jesus, on the promises. Trust him. I want to ask you this. If you have faith in Christ, where did you get that faith? He gave it to us. It's a gift. It wasn't of your manufacturing, of your doing. And all he asks now is you hold on to it. Hold on to the faith you've been given through thick and thin. Finally, in Jesus' view of the future that we should adopt, we need to take hold of our assigned tasks. Pastor, I would love to know what my role and my assigned task is. Well, let me be pretty blunt now. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, I think you know what your task is. And if it's not totally clear for you, it's because you've kind of resisted it. To put it simply, what are you good at? Do you speak well? Can you fix an engine? Can you play an instrument? Can you run a company? Now, the list is endless. And what I'm saying to you is, lots of times when people think of their task, they think, well, I've got to do something in church. Now, what is the church? It's the body of Christ. It's believers everywhere. Right? And wherever we go and whatever we do, can we not give glory to Jesus Christ? Can we not be a witness to him? We can indeed. And this is largely your task in life. And it's fulfilling that task that you're staying awake. Now, there are some common tasks. We as a church, we come together. There's some common tasks that God wants us to fulfill. And it also constitutes staying awake. What are these? Here they are. We are to worship God without fail. He doesn't compromise with us on that. Worship me. This is staying awake. We are to read and know His Word. That's staying awake. In the household of God, we are to love and serve each other. Stay awake. We are to repent daily. Stay awake. And we are to pray without ceasing, ever more boldly. Stay awake. These are our common tasks. Individually, we have some way in which we serve God and others in our daily life. We've been assigned these things. The more I think about this in our individual tasks, the more I realize how special God has made me to do a certain thing and made you to do a certain thing. You know, when I was growing up, everybody was to play an instrument. My brother played an accordion. You don't see that much. I thought it made him look like a clown, actually, but you know. And for me, it was chosen to play the piano. Horrible mistake by my parents. Horrible mistake. Today I would love to play the piano, you know. But I went 3 years to my teacher named Mr. Yost. And Mr. Yost saw in me immediately, I was never going to be a piano player. He held on to me for 3 years. He would often say, he'd start 10 minutes of practice and he'd say, I'm going to go in the other room. And I'd hear him snoring. And yet my parents shelled out the money and they wanted me to practice. I didn't want to practice. I wanted to go out and play football and basketball and baseball, all the sports that were part of our youth, you know. I had no gifting for it. I had no gifting for it. When I said, if you've been Christian long enough, what I mean is you begin to sense how God wants to use you, whether it be in the church or outside the church. I realize that though I'm kind of an introvert, really, when I'm here, I'm an extrovert. And God has used me, He's put in me to be able to talk. Sometimes too much. But I know I have that. And I know others of you don't. But then I know some of you can do things that make me want to thank God, especially when you come and help me fix my house. You know, things like that. It builds up the brotherhood and the sisterhood of a church. But more than that, we do things. I'm amazed at people who can get into politics and yet remain a good witness. I think that's great. I'm amazed at some of who are policemen who can go out there and put their lives on the line, and they do it in the name of Christ. There's so many things we can do in this world. In Jesus's perspective of the future, it contrasts greatly with the worldly perspective. But it is true. It inspires, it gives hope, trust, and faith. So let's take His view and not ours. And here it is again. Three things. One, acknowledge God is in complete control of the future and not us. Amen to that, right? Number two, we've been given faith. It's a gift to us. Hold on to it. Hold on to it no matter what happens. Never quit believing. And number three, be faithful and focus on your assigned task and the common tasks. do them, because that's staying awake. And come what may you see the Lord always, because you're awake. In Jesus' name, into his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you please rise? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding,